Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of All Saints. Today, the Feast of All Souls. This is the day to pray for all those we love, all our family members, all people who have died, and perhaps are spending time in purgatory, where most of us will go, spending time in purgatory to remove the stain of the sin, because when we come into the brilliance of God's presence, there can't be any sin on our soul. If we want to fully enter into union with God, we've got to be cleansed. If we do it here, blessed be God, that's the way we should do it. But if, for some reason, we find ourselves in purgatory, then, and we think about that, then we should start praying now for all those people who are there, all the people who are waiting and longing to come into heaven, but whose souls need to be cleansed. Brothers and sisters, God is infinitely merciful, but we need to want to repent. The best thing to do is repent for everything now. That's what we really want to do. So first of all, in this Feast of All Souls, take a look at your own soul. Am I ready to see the face of God? I know I'm not. I will never be ready except by God's gracious mercy. But as far as I possibly can, I want to repent of all those sins I know and be ready to see him face to face. Pope Emeritus Benedict wrote this about the Feast of All Souls, and I want to draw it to your attention. I would go so far as to say that if there was no purgatory, then we would have to invent it. Let me repeat that. I would go so far as to say that if there was no purgatory, then we would have to invent it. For who would dare say of himself that he was able to stand directly before God? That's pride if we say that. That needs to be repented for. Who would dare say of himself that he was able to stand directly before God? And yet we don't want to be, to use an image from Scripture, a pot that turned out wrong. We don't. The potter, the one who molds and shapes the pots, and sometimes it goes awry. When it's spinning around and we're trying to shape it, it goes awry, and the potter, as Scripture tells us, has to take it off and just reshape it just get it back into a lump of clay and start all over again. And he says, we don't want to be one of those pots that turned out wrong, that has to be thrown away. We want to be able to be put right. Purgatory basically means God can put the pieces back together again. What a beautiful, merciful way of looking at purgatory. Purgatory basically means that God can put the pieces back together again, that he can cleanse us in such a way that we are able to be with him and can stand there in the fullness of life. Purgatory strips off from one person what is unbearable, and from another the inability to bear certain things, so that in each of them a pure heart is revealed, and we can see that we all belong together in one enormous symphony of being. Perhaps you die not forgiving someone, and you end up in purgatory. Purgatory will purify you so that you desire to see and to embrace that which you hated and turned away from. I don't have the time to go through all of that, but I'm just trying to say, purgatory is actually an act of mercy on God's part, that he gives us a second chance. If we die rejecting him, that's another matter. But if in our lives there are times we've turned away from him, and we haven't fully repented of those things, maybe half-heartedly we did, but we didn't fully repent because we didn't change. all by his grace in this life and in the next. It's all by his grace. But we need, I've been saying in so many talks I've been giving recently, put your house in order. Take stock. Where am I? If I died tonight, where would I go? And then make plans so that you can certainly avoid hell and hopefully perhaps even avoid purgatory. But if we're not ready, there is the great mercy of purgatory to cleanse us. But, oh, brothers and sisters, so much depends on motivation. So much depends on intent. Make sure your motives are pure. Make sure you want the things of God for the right reasons. Choose him. Choose him before all and above all. First reading is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seem, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men indeed they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation they shall shine and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. No matter how many times we fall, if we stand up, if we say, I'm sorry, if we choose to follow him again, perhaps each time making a decision to follow him a little more closely, avoid the occasions of sin. But if we make those kinds of decisions, God will bless, God will heal everything, everything. But we need to see our need for repentance. We need to humble ourselves and turn to God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me. And that doesn't mean, okay, be merciful to me and God shows you mercy, and then you go right back doing the same things. A sign of real repentance is that you change. You choose to go a different path from the path that leads you into sin. Part of repentance that is meaningful before God is that you make a decision to change. Even if the next week you do it one less time than you did it the week before, that's progress. Keep going in that direction. So many people say to me, well, I went to confession. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, going to confession, blessed be God, you did. And the grace is there for you, but are you going to discard it? Are you going to reject it? Are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to cooperate with it? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. And that's true. God is right there with us. All we have to do is cry out, help. Really. All we have to do is cry out, help. A second reading is taken from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For Christ, while we were still helpless, died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, while we didn't know him, While perhaps we rejected him, still he died for us, and the merit of that death is available to us. Even while we were rejecting him, the merit of that death is available to us. So if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? When we walk with him, when we draw from him the power and the wisdom and the strength and the courage and the hope that we need, we can draw it from his life. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Do you realize what an inestimable gift God has given us? Inestimable gift. Please don't scoff it. Don't ignore it. Don't toss it away. Embrace it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 37 to 40, Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me." Hear that, brothers and sisters. No matter how deep the sin, I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, that's the Father, but that I should raise it on the last day. I should not lose anything. The only way, brothers and sisters, we can be lost is if we choose to reject what God offers us. That's the only way we can be lost. It doesn't matter if we've repented. He says, "This is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day." You have the hope of eternal life, but the decision rests with you. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." Brothers and sisters, let's pray for all those we love, all those who have gone before us, that if they're in purgatory, they may be released soon. But also, seriously, let's take stock of ourselves today. Let's take an inventory. Where am I? If I died today, where am I going? What do I see? And then make a decision to turn away from some sin in your life. And don't pick up something little because you think that'll be easy. God can work with that too. But I'd say, grab whatever is big, grab it around the neck, and say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to be set free from this temptation, from this desire, for this sin. Please, by the power of your precious blood, please set me free." And then start walking with God with your willpower, and he will change you. May God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.